Amen. So the title of the sermon this morning is The Children of Pride. The Children of Pride, of course, as we're coming to an end here in June, and it's, you know, Pride Month. You know, I want to make sure I preach a sermon in honor of Pride Month. I feel like I kind of did earlier this month, you know, but that was kind of more for us, you know, about not letting them vex us. But, you know, everybody else just seems to be acknowledging this crowd, the proud crowd, if you want to call it that. And, you know, I don't want to be left out. You know, I want to make sure that I put in my two cents and make sure everybody knows, you know, what we believe and what the Bible teaches about the subject. And, you know, probably most people in here already have a firm grasp of, you know, the fact that these people are reprobates. That's, you know, specifically who I'm talking about this morning, you know, the reprobates of this world. You know, the homos, the fags, the queers, the LGBTQ community. And but we could take something from the sermon even for ourselves, you know, because pride is not something that we want to have in our own hearts. Pride is not something that you know we want to creep into our own lives. Of course, we're not going to go to the degree that they are because they're reprobate. We understand that. You know, these people that are in the LGBTQ community have been given over to vile affections by God. You know, that's not going to happen to any God's people, right? But, you know, you say, well, what am I going to do? How can I apply this sermon, you know, beyond, besides just watching you kind of get some things off your chest this morning? You know, how am I going to apply this to my own life? Well, we should be on guard against pride in our life. You know, we might not become full-blown reprobates like they are, but you know what? Pride can still creep into our lives too, so that's always and that's a major sin. You know, we're going to look at the word proud and pride in the Bible. We're going to look at a lot of verses that use this word. It's something the Bible talks a lot about, and it's not in a good way. You know, pride is a very serious sin. It's not something that we want to creep into our own lives. But let's talk about the children of pride this morning. The children of pride, you're there in Malachi chapter number 3. I'm going to read to you from Job chapter 41. Okay, Job chapter 41. The Bible says, "He beholdeth all things." And of course, this is the Lord speaking, and he's talking about Leviathan, right? That great, that sea creature that, you know, I don't want to go on about it. But he's talking about Leviathan, and Leviathan in the Old Testament is a picture of Satan. Okay, and I don't have time to develop all that, but that was what he is a picture of, is Satan. He says, he beholdeth all high things. So he's saying Leviathan or Satan beholds all the high things. You know, he sees people that are exalted. He sees people that are set up in this world. He beholds them. And why is it? Because he is a king over all the children of pride. You know, the Bible says that he is the ruler of this present world. He's the God of this present world, that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Okay, ultimately, you know, God has given Satan some level of dominion and authority over this earth. And he exalts people. He lifts people up. I believe that. I mean, if we remember when he was, when he tempted Christ, one of the temptations that he brought to him was, you know, bow down before me and I will give you all the kingdoms of this world, for it is given unto me to give it unto whosoever I will. Okay. So Satan, he is a king. He beholds all the high things. He's lifted up. And it says here in Job chapter 41 that he is a king over all the children of pride, okay? So when we become proud, when we're a proud person, who are we emulating? Who are we, associating with? It's with Satan. You know, that's a sin that you know, God is not proud. That's not something that he has. That's not an attribute of the Lord. That is an attribute of Satan, to be a proud person. Go over to, were you in Malachi chapter 3? Look there at verse 15. It's such it's like almost as if God saw this day coming. With Malachi chapter 3. I mean, that you read this verse and you're kind of like, am I reading a new version? Did they kind of look at what's going on in the world and kind of adapt the Bible to what we see? No, it's just that there's no new thing under the sun. You know, there's always been people like this in the world, these proud people who want to flaunt their sin in everybody's face. And it says in verse 15, "And now we call the proud happy." Isn't that exactly what we do? Now, what's another word for happy? Gay, right? That's what it means. Okay, that's why I don't call fags gay, because they're not happy. They're miserable people. Okay, and you know we're gay. We're the happy ones. You know, we're the ones that are rejoicing, Lord. They've robbed that word. They've taken that word. And here, why do they call themselves that? It's called a need to persuade, is what it is. They want everyone to think that they're these happy gay people. They're not happy. They're miserable people. Okay, but that's what we call them, aren't they? We call the proud happy. You say, oh, the pride parade. Oh, the pride month. What are they celebrating? The homos. You know, the gay people, the fags, the queers. Okay? And that's what we're doing today. That's what this world is doing today. They are calling the proud happy. They're saying, oh, this LGBTQ community, they're the proud community. Isn't that, I mean, does anyone else find that ironic? That you have Job chapter 41 where it says he is the children, or he is the king over all the children of pride. And then it says, and we're going to call these homos, proud people, we're going to call them happy. We're going to call them proud. And it says, it goes on there, it says, yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Now, this same group of people that are called proud, or that are proud and are called happy rather, this same group of people, they work wickedness, don't they? They are set up, it says. They that work wickedness are set up. It's like a perfect description of what we see going on today. We're calling these proud people happy, and they work wickedness, and they are set up. And it says, yea, they tempt God. They that tempt God are even delivered. They that just flaunt the most filthy, vile abominations before God's eyes are delivered. Delivered by who? Delivered by man. They're protected. It's a protected class. It's a protected group of people. You know, they're getting into all the different levels of government, passing laws, you know, trying to just can't, you know, the whole cancel culture, shut everybody down that says anything negative against them. You know, they'll have their protests, they'll do all kinds of things, and they're the ones that are delivered. They're the ones that are being, you know, handled with kids' gloves in this community, in this world today, in this culture, isn't it? But they are, what are they doing? Does that make them right? Just because, you know, the government gives them a pass, just because the culture gives them a pass? Of course not. But they're still tempting God. God still sees it. God says, the Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every single day. But they're tempting God, they're set up, and they work wickedness. Go over to Romans chapter 1. Actually, don't go to Isaiah chapter 3. We all know Romans 1 in here, hopefully, okay? Everyone in the room, I don't see any new faces. I think everyone in here has a firm grasp of the fact that the Bible teaches in the New Testament, you know, the first epistle in the New Testament, that these people have been given up, they've been given over by God, to work, to do those things which are not convenient. They've been rejected by God. We could go to Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 30, and look at where the Bible says that they are reprobate silver. Reprobate silver shall men call them because the Lord hath rejected them. They're going to be called by men rejected because God is the one that has rejected them. I don't feel like I need to go on and on about that. We all have an understanding of that. But I think there's just this great description in the Bible of these children of pride this morning. Look at Isaiah chapter 3, verse 9. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom, they hide it not. Now, of course, this is referring back to Old Testament Israel when they were getting backslid and everything like that, but I believe we could apply this. We could look at these same attributes that are among people who have pride in their hearts, that are proud of heart, and say, well, this applies to them. Because that's what, isn't that what they declare? We're proud. We're out and we're proud. We're not ashamed. We're just going to let everybody know, and we're going to wave our flag, and we're going to, you know, just, and anybody that says anything to the contrary is just going to be public enemy number one to us, right? They're proud. But it says that the show of their countenance doth witness against them. You know, you can look at these people and you can just see them for what they are. They're miserable. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin aside. They're not trying to hide what they are anymore. They're just out, and they're just showing everybody what they are. They declare their sin as Sodom. Look, were the people in Sodom, were they hiding the fact that they were reprobates? When they're coming from every quarter, young and old, and they're knocking on Lot's door, and they want to know the two men that came in unto him? They're not trying to do that secretly. They're not meeting, you know, in some seedy part of town where nobody else goes. You know, they're not trying to sneak around. They're just out in the open, just declaring their sin as Sodom. And that's exactly the way it is in America today. They're just out and they're just declaring their sin as Sodom. And they just want everyone to think it's normal. Well, you know what? I'm not going to think it's normal. You're never going to convince me that men working with men, that which is unseemly, is normal. It's not. It's reprobate. And the Bible says, you know, go read Romans 1. If you're still struggling with this, you need to go read Romans 1 and Romans over and over and over again until you get it through your head. That they have been given over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. That they've been given over to vile affections, that this is not natural, okay? That this is something that only comes upon people that have been rejected by God. Go over to Psalms chapter 10. Psalms chapter 10. We're just going to look at the children of pride. Now, of course, the primary application this morning is to, you know, the proud community, the proud crowd, the proud the LGBTQ pride community. But we could all learn something from the fact of how wicked pride is in our own hearts. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 30, that these people are backbiters. They are haters of God. Oh, we should love them. Why? They hate God. Why would I sit there and love them that hate the Lord? I'm not going to. They hate God. You hate God, I hate you. You love God, I love you. That's how I decide who I love and who I hate. They are haters of God. They are despiteful. And what else are they? Proud. That's like one of their key attributes is their pride, that they are proud people. They are the children of pride this morning. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, or 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, what else? Proud, blasphemers. These things all go hand in hand. This is describing a very wicked group of people, and one of their key attributes is the fact that they are proud. They're not ashamed of what they do. The proud, what else do they do? They are, well, if my first point, if I even made it, I was kind of just ranting there, but is that they are satanic. You know, pride is a satanic attribute. That's what I was getting at with all those verses, is that if you're going to be a proud person, you are emulating Satan. That's who he is. You know, he is one that was lifted up and was filled with pride. Not only that, but the children of pride, not only are they satanic, but they are people that reject God. They reject God. And again, I'm not gonna accept people that reject God. And I'm not gonna let them try to tell me what the Bible says about how I should serve. That's the most ironic thing about it, isn't it? Oh, how Christian of you. Like, you'll say something to them about, you know, you'll quote Leviticus 20:13. And then they'll try, oh, what about love your neighbor? You know, what about, well, I'm not going to love somebody that, you know, is a pedophile. I mean, what sense does that make? You know, I'm loving my neighbor by trying to, you know, tell the truth about these people. That's me loving you're my neighbor this morning, and I'm loving you by getting up and trying to actually teach you what the Bible says about these people and about pride, about the children of pride. That's my love toward my neighbor. It's not just, loving your neighbor isn't just opening up your arms to every abominable, filthy, wicked death style there is and say, oh, it's okay with God. It's just their choice. We should just accept them as they are. Wrong. And then but that's what they try to do, isn't it? They try to tell you what the Bible says. It's like you can't even understand it. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. No reprobate's going to tell me about how to read the Bible. They reject God. And I know I'm kind of getting ranty this morning, but just stick with me. There'll be something. If you pay attention, you'll get something out of the sermon. The proud reject God. Look at Psalms chapter 10, verse 2. It says there, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. So the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. You see how pride and wickedness are being associated again? Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth. You know, that's something that a proud person does, isn't it? They boast. They want to tell you all about their accomplishments. They want to tell you about all the great things that they've done. They want to talk about themselves. They want to just, and look, I'm all for, you know, accomplishing something hard, doing something difficult, and getting a sense of self-satisfaction out of it. But it's another thing to go around and just make sure everybody knows about it. Making sure everybody just, just praises you and lifts you up for whatever. And you know, the people that we're talking about this morning, they're proud about being just vile, filthy, wicked, you know, reprobates, about being brute beasts. That's what they want. I want everybody to, you know, lift them up over. Well, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to sit here and praise them for being reprobate. The Bible says, verse 3, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. So you see how proud people who boast of their heart's desire, they bless people that God abhors. You know, and abhorreth is a strong word for hate. You guys are so filled with hate. Well, you know what? God has hate. You know, hate. God is a God that hates. Well, God is love. Yeah, but he's also hate too. I mean, are we not reading that this morning? In verse 3, it says, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. Who's doing the abhorring here in this verse? It's the Lord. And he's saying there's certain people that he hates. And that these people that God hates are blessed by who? The wicked, who boast, the proud. They want to lift up and praise people that God abhors. That's what proud people do. The wicked, through his pride, the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You know, that's another thing about these children of pride this morning. You know, and this is why it's so stupid for people to think that they're going to get saved. Because one, they're reprobate, they can't get saved. Okay, and I don't have time to develop that. If you're struggling with that, we can talk after the service. But it says here that the wicked, through his pride, will not seek after God. And then you have all these churches, even Baptist churches, you know, big Baptist churches that are falling all over themselves to make sure that they're not the target of the LGBTQ community. That they're, you know, they're, that they want to make sure that they're accepted by these people. Then they go so far as to say, well, you know, it's a sin like any other sin. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, no, it's not a sin like any other sin. You know, the Bible says there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. You know, there's some sins that are common to man, and then there's other sins that are uncommon to man. I mean, think about what that verse is saying. There's no sin that has taken you but such as is common to man. Meaning that there is a sin that is not common to man, which would be, you know, the sin of being a homo. You know, the sin of lusting after the same gender. That's what that sin is. That's what that's referring to. That is not common. That is something that you have to be given over to. And I don't know where I'm going with that, but just, I'm going to throw it out there again. Because, you know, here's the thing. You say, why are you preaching on this again? Well, it's because it's just, it's constant now. It's just, you know, the preacher has to think about what's going on, what's, you know, applicable for the time that he's living in. And this is the issue of our day. You know, this is the issue of our day. The homo crowd, the children of pride that are out there in full force. You know, they're out having a parade somewhere this morning or this weekend, running each other over. They're out, you know, they're out somewhere, you know, boasting of what they do somewhere. They're out there declaring their message in the public school systems through the media. And it's not like they're going to turn it off at the end of this month. It's going to keep right on going. Okay? So it's important that we get up and talk about these things and be reminded. Because even we, who understand what the Bible says, if we're not careful, can be lulled into this sleep of just saying, oh, you know, I know it's wicked, but I mean, they're not that bad. Well, yes, they are. They're the worst type of people that there are. I mean, we're reading about, I mean, just the sin of pride alone, which is that's their banner that they wave over their head. The pride flag. It says that they boast their heart's desire and bless the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through his pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. Look, these people are too proud to even seek after God. That's why it says in Romans 1 that they did not want to even retain God in their knowledge. They don't even want to think about God. So I'm not going to waste my time trying to preach the gospel to somebody that doesn't even want to retain God in their knowledge, that does not, because of their pride, even want to seek after God. I'm not even going to waste my time. God is not in all his thoughts. You know, so we see this morning that the children of pride, they are satanic. They are people that reject God, okay? And, you know, well, how should we treat them? You know, what should our attitude be towards them? Should we have respect under the children of pride? No, we shouldn't. We should have no respect for the children of pride. None at all. Go over to Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible says in Psalms 40, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud. Blessed is the man that respecteth not the proud. I don't respect the proud. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to respect somebody who, you know, is a proud person in general. I'm not even saying that they're, you know, a homo or a reprobate. They're just a proud person. The Bible says we shouldn't respect them. People like, oh, I don't know, Donald Trump. Oh, whoops, did I say that? Uh-oh. You know, oh, he's a good guy. He's one of the most proud, boastful people there are. And I'm not going to have respect under proud, boastful people. I don't care who you are. The president, you know, the janitor, whatever. And especially not somebody that's going to be part of the pride movement. Who's going to make their whole life about being proud of the most, you know, abominable filth that there is. I'm not going to have any respect because Bible says, because, you know, that's my authority this morning is the Bible. Not somebody's opinion, not how you feel about it. My authority is the Bible. I mean, it does say Baptist church out there on the door, okay? That's what we are. We're Baptists. We're Bible-believing Baptists in here. You know, this is our final authority. Not some pope somewhere, not some board of elders, not, you know, the ever-changing currents of, you know, our society's feelings or their take on things. It's this book. It's immovable. It's a foundation. It's a rock. It doesn't change. You know, society can go way over here. I'm staying right here. That's where I'm staying. And the Bible says, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud. Now, I'm not going to have respect for just proud people in general. I'm going to think to myself, that guy needs to get humble. That person should humble themselves. That person should, you know, get some humility about him. I might not jump down their throat. I might not, you know, preach a whole sermon about him. But I'm sure not going to have respect to people that are in the, you know, the pride community, nor as such as turn aside to lies. You know, they are the children of pride. Satan is a king over them, and they're being lied to. They've been lied to. And, oh, you're normal. You're just like everybody else. You've been lied to. They turn aside to lies. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. We shouldn't hate anything. We shouldn't hate anybody. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Oh, I fear God. Okay, well, do you hate evil then? I mean, did I stutter? The Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You know, when we see evil, we should hate it. Not just be indifferent, be like, oh, well, you know, that's not God's best for you. No, you should hate it, the Bible says. You know, because, you know, not to make sure you're okay with the preacher, make sure you're okay with God. Because God sees that. God looks at your heart and says, oh, do you hate evil or do you have a soft spot for wickedness, for things that God abhors? We are to hate evil. Pride is another thing that we should hate. We should hate pride. You know, if it's the moniker of some group, we should hate it. If it's pride, right? If it's in our own hearts, we should search our own hearts and say, is there pride in my heart this morning? Help me to hate the pride in my own heart. Okay? Why? You say, well, that seems kind of rough. That seems kind of rough that, you know, God would say that they're satanic, that God would reject them, that you're telling me they shouldn't even be respected. You know, it's a lot of time I won't even acknowledge them in public. You know, and some people, you know, and I'm not, if this is you, by all means, go for it. They'll make a scene. I've known guys, they will make a scene if they see one of these freaks in public. If they're behind the counter at some restaurant, they're the waiter, they'll go ahead and they'll make a scene. I've known guys that have been banned from like Taco Bell or this type of thing, okay? And hey, go for it. I'd rather just, you know, their life is already so miserable. They're already hellbound. I'd rather just get through my day and not have to deal with it. You know, I don't even want to acknowledge them. I don't want to even dignify them by even acknowledging them in the least bit. You say, well, but you're saying they shouldn't be respected? Well, you know, the Bible says we shouldn't respect proud people. The Bible says that we should hate pride and arrogancy. Okay, that's what the Bible says. And so, well, that seems kind of harsh. Yeah, but here's the thing. The proud, it's not like they're just these poor little lambs that, you know, that the media wants to make them into, that they're all just these harmless little doves of peace and light and goodness. That's not what they are. And if you believe that, you're probably watching too much television. You've watched too many movies where the homo is just this, you know, lighthearted, friendly character. That's why it's called programming, people. It's called television programming, to program you to think a certain way. It's the world's philosophy that they want you to adopt. And the world is pushing this agenda of pride, and they want you to think that these people are something other than what they are. That they're these sweet, angelic beings full of goodness and light. That's not what they are. The proud are some of the most wicked people that do some of the most wicked things. So, well, give me an example. What do they do? You know, I'd love to tell you. Actually, I wouldn't love to tell you, but I feel like I need to tell you just so I can get it, like tell you what these people do, like what they're into, like the kind of stuff that actually goes on when nobody else is looking, but the Bible bans it. It forbids it. Behind the pulpit, anywhere. You know, I don't want to think about those things, but sometimes I feel like we need to say it. Hey, you got to shake you, wake you up, say, hey, this is what they're really like. This is what they're really into. You know, it's not Will and Grace. It's not Ellen DeGenerate. Oh, I mean, DeGeneres. You know, they're not these nice little people. They're wicked. So prove it. Tell me what they're about. I can't. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, I've got that part down. There's some reproof going on. I'm reproving, you know, the children of pride this morning and calling them out from what they are. But you know what I'm not going to do? Is go into detail about what they're really like. Because it says in verse 12, "For it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret." I wouldn't want to sit here and dwell on my own mind. I wouldn't want to defile your mind or the minds of this children by even beginning to allude to the type of things that these freaks do in secret. The Bible says it's a shame to even speak of it. You know, and if you're struggling, you think, well, they can't be that bad. Just go to cdc.org or .gov or whatever, .gov. It's a government website, okay? It's not some, you know, far-right website. It's the government website. And actually look at the statistics for all the diseases, the lifespans, all the things that these people are afflicted with. You know, AIDS. And their lifespan is like cut short. The Bible says they shall not live out half their days. The average lifespan is like 50, maybe it's up to 60 with all the drugs that the pharmaceutical companies can pump into them now. It's the most just unhealthy lifestyle there is because of the things that they do, and the things that they do are too shameful to even be spoken of. So just take my word for it. Just, you know, don't take my word for it. Just take the Bible's word for it this morning. Just believe what the Bible says, that all they that are proud are an abomination to the Lord, that these are the children of pride, and the king over them is Satan, okay? Go over to, where are we going to have you go? We'll go over to Proverbs 15. That's what's highlighted next, Proverbs chapter 15. You know, the wicked people, they do wicked things. The Bible says it's a shame to think of, to even speak of it. But you know what? I'll read some other verses. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. These are the seven things which the Lord doth hate. There it is again in the Bible, God hating something, okay? A proud look is something that God hates. You know, and we could apply that, you know, to the specifically to the group we're talking about this morning. That's the primary application. But, you know, we could all be guilty of that. You know, I remember just getting just cut in half once by my old pastor after just months of me walking around with my nose up in the air. Just one day he took me aside and said, "You've had such an arrogant air about you." And why was it? How did he know that? Because of all the things I was saying? No, it was my high look. You know, I'm walking around. I'm so cool. And you know, people that are proud, you can see them a mile off. People that are high, have a high look, that are full of themselves, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just because I've seen it so much of it myself in the past. It's just, you're like, oh, I recognize that. I've seen that in the mirror. This high look, you know, a proud look. You know, God, the Bible says God hates that, a high look and a proud heart. We should want to be a humble person. You know, we should be people that should be meek, lowly, you know, and doing what? Exalting others better than ourselves. You know, not just always trying to, you know, one-up everybody. You know, somebody says, hey, what'd you do? Oh, I did this. Oh, yeah. You know, it tells you about some accomplishment that they did or something that they're happy with having done. And you're like, oh, well, let me just top that. Oh, really? You're not just like, oh, good job. Good for you. Nice work. You know, talk about it, you know, help them. It's like, oh, really? Well, you know what? That's nothing. You know, what is that? That's a proud heart. That's a high look. And look, people that are proud, they're wicked people. You know, and to the degree to which you are wicked is equivalent to the degree which you are proud. The more proud you are, probably the more wicked you are. Because there's a high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Look, is what the fag community? You know, that's the word that just rolls off my lips this morning, okay? Fag. You know, the LGBTQ, it's like kind of hard to even enunciate, all right? So it's just fags from now on, all right? And I don't care, they can ban it, they can strike it down from YouTube, I don't care, whatever. It's the fag community, because it's just so natural now, it just rolls right off the tongue, fag. The fag community, what are they plowing this morning? The Bible says a high look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked. They're the wicked, right? Because why? Because they have the proud heart. They have the high look. No one's going to tell them, what are they plowing this morning? Are they sowing the seeds of righteousness and goodness in this country? Are they emulating everything that which is wholesome and dignified? Is it lifting people up? Is it making our country better? Is it edifying? Is it improving the human race by having these people flaunt their sin? No, the Bible says that the plowing of the wicked is sin. You know, they just want to drag everybody else down with them. They just want to go around and they just want to just defile everybody else's minds. They want to get the transvestite. Transvestite, I'm not saying that other way. I know they want to call it transgender. It's transvestite. That's what they are. That or fag, right? They want to put their pictures on every magazine. They want to put them in every, they want to have the good night, folks. They want to have story time hour with little kids, with drag queens in this country. How does that edifying? That give kids nightmares. At least it should. And shame on every parent that would sit in the back of a story time hour led by some kind of a freak and nod their head and just think, oh, I'm such a good parent. I'm so diverse. You're wicked. And you're the problem with this country. And this is what, and look at where we're at in this country. And it's not Bible-believing Christians that got us here. It was the Bible-believing Christians, it was the God-fearing people that made this country great at one time. And it's these reprobates and these soft, these homo-loving liberals that are tearing this country apart. And it's shredded, folks. I mean, to me, there's no putting it back together. Humpty Dumpty done fell off the wall, and it's the yoke's all over the place in this country. There's no gathering that guy back together. You get all the king's horses and king's men you want. It's done. Put a fork in this country. Because that's the downfall of a country. That's the last thing that happens to an empire before it just dissolves. Sodomy and specifically transgenderism. When they just start blurring the lines between, the gender roles. That's usually like the last, that's like the telltale sign of a nation, of an empire in decline. That's like you're at the end at that point. Go look at the Greeks. Go look at Rome. That's exactly what happens. They got, the last thing that really happens is they're all for pedophilia, which is what's going on in this country. If they won't come out and just say it, they're at least insinuating it. And in some other countries, the European countries, they're lowering the age of consent. They want to keep getting it lower. You got people like NAMBLA, the North American Man-Boy Love Association, that's been around since the 70s, marching in these pride parades. And they go, oh, that's not us. Oh, that's you. Those are your people. Own them. Then why don't you do something about it? Because they're all like that in their heart. Because they don't want to be seen as unloving. Look, that is the telltale sign of a nation in decline. That's the plowing of the wicked. And who is doing the plowing? Those that are proud. Those that have a high look and a proud heart. The Bible says, proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. So what's the proud, haughty scorner dealing with? What is he distributing? What is it that he's making his life about? Proud wrath. It's about wrath. And you know what? I guarantee you, if this sermon gets found out on the internet, if some pro-fag, website picks this up and says, can you believe what this preacher said? You just watch the comment section. It'll just be hundreds of just proud, wrathful people. And they'll show you their real colors. You think it's blue, orange, green, yellow, and purple, or whatever else it is. It should just be black, like their hearts. You think that's their true color? Their true colors is wrath. Go read the comment section over on Pastor Jonathan Shelley's recent videos. Where they're, I hope someone burns your church to the ground. And other things. And then they're just saying what they can get away with. I mean, it's not like they'd ever throw a bomb at a Baptist church. Oh, wait, yeah, they did that within the last few months. I forgot about that. And I think the first time it's happened. That's what they deal with, folks. Proud wrath. These proud and haughty scorners, they deal in proud wrath. They're not out there to try and make peace. The Bible says they're implacable. There's no placating them. Do you remember when it used to be just, oh, they just want to get married? Well, they got married, now they want to adopt. Now that they want to adopt, now they want everyone to be okay with it. And now they want to transition. And now they want your kids. Look, you can't give these people an inch. That was the that's the problem. It wasn't that long ago where, they started coming out of the closet and the AIDS epidemic happened and then everyone just started kind of slowly backing off. I mean, I remember in the 90s as a teenager when Ellen DeGeneres Yeah, that's right. Ellen DeGeneres. She had her sitcom, and she came out of the closet, and they pulled the plug on that show. They pulled the plug on it. Now she's like one of the most. She's like second only to Oprah, right? Isn't she like some big? She's like some big time talk show host now. They plugged her right back in. So hey, you go, girl. Go ahead and deal with your proud wrath. Just let everyone know. And now they're just lifting these people up. Say, no, they're not like that. Oh, yes, they are. And you know what else they are? They are in denial. These people are in denial. But I don't want to go on that. I'm running out of time. So, you know, what are we looking at this morning? We're looking at the children of pride because it's Pride Month, folks. I'm just trying to go along with, you know, the culture. I'm just trying to make sure everyone knows that I have acknowledged Pride Month this month. I'm not going to let the last Sunday of Pride Month go by without me acknowledging, you know, the fact that we are in Pride Month. Okay, so we're talking about the children of pride, and we're just simply looking at what the scripture says about pride and proud people in general, right? And we're being a little bit more specific with this crew. But they are not to be respected. They reject God. They are satanic. They do wicked things that are even shameful to speak of. And you say, well, that doesn't sound so good. Empire in decline. It's going to, evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. Perilous times are going to come. What should we do? Just, console yourself in the fact that God abases the proud. And they think they are in denial, these people. They think that they're here to stay. They think that they're going to just live their little fag lifestyle, their death style, and then just go merrily along into eternity. I beg to differ. They have an eternity in hell to look forward to. And their life is miserable enough as it is. They are in denial. That's what proud people are like. Even if you don't want to apply it to them. You know, proud people in general, pride has a blinding effect on people. You know, when we get proud in our own hearts, a lot of times we can't even see it. It takes somebody else having to pull us aside and be like, hey, you need to take it down a notch. You know, someone has to come and cut us down a little bit and humble us and say, you know, you've been a little proud lately, right? Someone has to kind of bring that to our attention because pride blinds people. That's why these people are in denial. The Bible says in Obadiah, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. And he's talking about Edom, you know, when they were, because they were fighting against Israel. But it says that the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. You know, pride is something that will deceive, you know, not just others. It deceives us. We deceive our own selves. The Bible says, if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Everybody else looks around and says, boy, that guy's full of pride. He doesn't see it. He thinks himself to be something when he's nothing. And by the way, folks, we're all nothing. I mean, the big scheme of things, I get it. We all have value. We all have something to offer in service to God. But at the end of the day, who are any of us? Who is sufficient for these things, right? So let's not deceive ourselves. Let's not let pride creep into our hearts and deceive our own self. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee that dwellest in the cleft of the rocks, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? That's what the proud in heart says. Who's going to bring me down? No, you know, that's what this proud community says. That's what the children of pride say today. Say, no one's going to stop us. We're on a roll. You know, and they might have a lot of these other churches on their heels, but not this one. Not going to put us on our heels. We're not going to back down. And basically, these people are cowards anyway. They're full of fear. And as soon as somebody actually stands up to them, they just move along. They just move along onto the next victim, somebody else that they can bully and get to capitulate. But they are in denial, thinking, who's going to bring me down? Well, I'll tell you who's going to bring you down. You know, it's not going to be the U.S. government. They're not going to uphold Leviticus 20:13. I'm not holding my breath for that anytime soon. It'd be great if they did, but you know what? It's, reality check, it's not going to happen. But I'll tell you who is. If man's not going to do his job, if the government's not going to do their job, God's going to bring him down because God can abase the proud. You remember Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, when he got lifted up in his heart and God made him. And it's such a cool story where he sends him out, you know, he takes his mind from him, sends him out to eat grass like the ox, and his nails grow long and his hair becomes like bird feathers, and he's eating with the oxen for 7 years. Then he gets his senses and he comes back to himself. God gives him back his mind. And he said in Daniel chapter 4, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the king of heaven. Because remember, that was his problem. He walked out and saw his kingdom and said, look what I have done. Look at, He's kind of like these other people. Who's going to bring me down? Look at all the everything I've made. He's proud in heart. And God brought him, abased him. He said, I praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Look, I'm not expecting this sermon to go viral and everybody just come to their senses and say, the preacher's right. What have we been doing? And all, you know, it's not going to happen. And they're all just going to go back in the closet. But he is able to abase them. You know, we'll run them out of this church. They're not welcome here. We'll run them right out. So, you know, don't invite your gay cousin or whatever. So, because they're not welcome here. Amen. Right? All God's people said amen, right? Am I going to be the only one laying hands on the freak if he walks in here or what? I need some guys that are going to be ready to grab that joker and get him out of here. But I know everybody is. Everyone's on the same page there. But look, I'm not expecting for us to just, you know, some great movement to take over where we're just going to just restore the United States to righteousness and just, it's not going to happen. Okay, it'd be great, but let's just be realistic here. Let's stand our ground. You know, let's make sure that the areas that we, you know, let's make sure our homes and our churches, our families, the places where we can exert our influence, you know, let's make sure we're doing that. You know, and let's make sure we do abase the proud. Let's make sure we abase pride in our own hearts. But God ultimately can abase any proud person, even a guy like King Nebuchadnezzar who was ruling over Babylon, one of the greatest empires that ever were, the most powerful man on earth. God can abase even him. It's nothing to God. You know, God, the breath of every living person is in God's hand. He could just like that, anytime he wanted. God could just open up the earth and people can fall alive into the pit anytime he wants. So these people are in denial. They're fooling themselves if they don't think God doesn't notice and that they're going to be abased. So why hasn't he done it? Well, probably because this country deserves, they're a judgment from God, in my opinion. That's my opinion. This country shed so much innocent blood at this point. You know, we deserve these freaks. You know, and this nation has rejected God, kicked him out of every public square there is. And God's like, okay, well, let me just give you over to a reprobate mind as a nation and just let these freaks run wild. You don't love the law of the Lord. You don't want God in your country. This is what happens. Okay, so God could abase them, but I think he's just letting it go on because it's a judgment. Did I had you go to Proverbs? Keep something there. Go over to Job chapter 40. Job chapter 40. I know I'm going a little long this morning, but I'm unloading the truck, okay? It's been a long month, right? I know I preached about not getting vexed by these freaks earlier at the beginning of this month. You know, but what finally vexed me is when I see them, you know, you're going after one of God's men. When I see them going after men like Pastor Jonathan Shelley, it infuriates me. Right? Because I've seen it too many times. When they go after men like Pastor Bruce Mejia, Pastor, Roger Jimenez, Pastor Dave Berzins, these other men of God that have stood up, and Pastor Aaron Thompson, even our own pastor, right, Pastor Steven Anderson. When I see men of God being attacked publicly and being called, and people, and I know I'm getting ranty, but I got to get it out. These people, they go on, and when they get triggered, they go on these and leave comments on these pastors' channels. You know what? It's the same insult every time. Oh, I bet you're just like us. That's what they say. Oh, I bet you've got some, you know, homo dating app on your phone. It's like, that just proves what a brute beast you are. The worst insult you can think to call a man is describe him as yourself. And they're like, oh, you just need to come out. Oh, my gaydar's going off. It's like, you wish in your dreams. And that's the worst insult you can come up with is like, we're like you. You're in denial. And I'm not talking about a river in Egypt. Anyway, I gotta finish. God's going to abase these people. God is going to bring the proud low. He says in Job chapter 40, verse 9, hast thou an arm like God? No, I don't. Or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Well, I mean, I can get loud, but not anything like he can. Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency. I managed to find a white shirt. It's the best I got. Array thyself with glory and beauty. It would probably take a surgeon at this point, right? Cast abroad thy rage of the rage of thy wrath. And behold, everyone that is proud, not just some people, everyone that is proud, and abase him. You know what? Then you'll be like God. If you could do all that, you know, you could do all these things, but specifically, if you could just look at on everyone that is proud and just abase them, just bring them low, just take the feet up right out from under them in a moment, then you would be like God. He goes on and says, look on everyone that is proud and bring him low and tread down the wicked in their place. Tread them down in their place. You know, when some car goes careening through some group of proud, you know, that they're proud parade, their pride parade. You know, one of them accidentally their foot slips on the wheel. And next thing you know, they're treading them down in their place. Maybe it was an accident. I don't know. Maybe God did that. Well, what if the people that got killed there, they weren't homos? Well, what were they doing there to begin with? Hang around people like that, bad things happen. And you should be careful who you hang around with, where you go and where you spend your time. You go into the dark places of this world where, you know, wickedness dwells. Don't be surprised if wickedness shows up. Don't be surprised if God decides to judge some group of people while you're there. Say, did God do that? Certainly could. And if he did, I mean, it's just a drop in the bucket of his wrath. I mean, look what he's saying here. He could just look at anyone with a problem, bring them low, and tread down the wicked in their place. And that's what he's going to do eventually. The Bible says pride goeth before destruction. Oh, how dare you talk about them being destroyed. The Bible says that pride goes before destruction. It's like a math formula. You see pride, just know destruction's right behind it. And when a country exalts the children of pride, just know destruction's coming right behind it. Just know in your own life that if you're full of pride, destruction's coming right behind you. The haughty spirit cometh before a fall. Did you keep something in Proverbs? Proverbs chapter 15. The Bible says in verse 25, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Oh, you need to just tolerate everybody. You need to just get along and make sure that, you know, everyone feels accepted and has a safe space. There's no safe space here. This is not a safe space for the homo. You know, go down to the QT. They got their little sign, okay? They got their little safe space down there for you. That's where you belong. You can go stand out in the heat. It's on a light pole about this wide, and you can get plenty of shade from the hot Arizona sun. Just stand right there, and you can be in your safe space. No one will harm you. Coming here might be another story. And you'll be shown the door rather swiftly. But the Bible says that the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. There is no safe space for them. But he will establish the border of the widow. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. Well, why would he destroy them? Because the things that they think, the things that they do, the things that they say, God says, it's an abomination to me. I hate it. It's disgusting. It's detestable. And God says he's going to destroy it. But the words of the pure are pleasant words. And believe it or not, you know, every word of God is pure. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Everything I just preached to you from the Bible this morning about God hating people, and God destroying people, and God casting people into hell, and reprobating people, that's not even a word, turning people over to reprobate mind, these are pure words. These are pure words that are coming out of my mouth. Because this is the Bible that's coming out of my mouth. The Bible says the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination, Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. God's pleased with these words. You know, someone out there might not be pleased with these words. The world sure isn't going to be pleased with these words. You know, if some freak finds this on the internet and runs with it, they're not going to be pleased with these words, but I don't care. Ask me if I care. The answer is no. So don't bother asking me. I just give you the answer. These words are pure words because these are God's word. God is pleased with these words. And would to God there were more men of God that would stand up and preach these words. That God abases the proud. That God despises the proud. And these people are cursed. Proverbs 16, just go over there. Proverbs 16, I'm almost done. Proverbs 16, verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. I'm sure that's just, you know, that's just a coincidence. That these people who have been given over to a reprobate mind, these people that do the most abominable things, are also proud in heart. I'm sure that's just a coincidence. No, it's not. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. And again, you know, you say, well, how does this apply to me? You know, I'm saved. I don't have to worry about this. Well, just, you know, at least this should wake us up to the fact that how wicked pride is. And pride, again, it's one of those things that if we're not looking for it, it will creep up on us all the time. It's always right there, just ready to jump on our back. And the proud, they are doomed. You say, what do we do about all this? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, that's where we're going to close. Actually, I lied to you. We're going to close in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Go there. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We know these verses. I'll read to you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, the Bible says, and you who are troubled, rest with us. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm troubled. You know, I'm troubled when I see men of God being attacked by these freaks. It doesn't really trouble me that much when I see some, you know, mega corporation endorsing sodomy. That's kind of par for the course. That doesn't really vex me that much. It's kind of like, yeah, that's the world we're living in. But you know what troubles me is when God's people are being persecuted by these people. That's what troubles me. That's what makes me mad. That's what gets me vexed. Okay? It says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know why I can just sit back and watch this country just go down the drain and watch all these freaks just destroy each other and have it not bother me and not feel like I need to go out and get on some vendetta or try to start some social movement to restore righteousness to this country? Is because, one, that's not going to happen, but because, two, I know that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to appear from heaven with his mighty angels, with flaming fire, and he's going to take vengeance on all these people. He says, and to you who are troubled, rest. And that's, you know, if this month has gotten to you, you know what you need to do? You need to just rest. How much have you been resting in the Lord this last month? Or have we just been following every, you know, comment on every social media page, or the, where the homos are raging, or we're just, you know, we're out just trying to just, did you see what they did here for Pride Month? Did you see what they, I get it. But you know what? I rest from all that because I understand that God is going to come and take vengeance on them in time. I'm just going to rest. It says they shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. You know, these people are in denial. They can go ahead and have their month. They can go ahead and have the rest of their life. I don't care. I've got eternity without them. I have an eternity where they won't even enter my mind. They'll be roasting in hell for a million years. And this will all just be some faint, distant memory that I don't even think we'll care about. So I'm just going to rest. I'm just going to rest in him and let the children of pride go to hell. They shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence from the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe in that day. You're in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, look at verse 8. Better is the end of the thing than the beginning thereof. Better is the end of the thing than the beginning thereof. Look, the beginning of mankind, you know, it started out good, but it got pretty rough pretty quick, didn't it? Man sinned, sent into the world, death passed upon all men. And it wasn't long after that, every imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. God had to destroy the earth with the flood, and then it's just been on repeat ever since. Just the beginning. But you know what? There's coming an end to all this. When Christ comes back to reign, it's all coming to an end. All of the sin, all the iniquity, all the things that these children of pride think that they're getting away with, it's all coming to an end. You know what? I say that's better. I say the end is better. I'm looking forward to the end. I don't look at the here and now. I'm resting in that fact that the end is better. And so rather than being proud, you need to be patient. That's what it says. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. They can go ahead and be proud. They can go ahead and wave their flags and have their heyday and have their moment in the sun. Go ahead and have it, homo. Go ahead, proud crowd. Go ahead, you children of pride. Go ahead and have your moment in the sun. You have an eternity in hell to look forward to. And I'll just be patient. And you know what? The Bible says I'm better for it because the end is better. I know what's coming. So I can just sit back and let the children of pride just have their fun and go on their merry way because I'm just going to be patient in spirit and wait for God to come back and take vengeance upon them. So hopefully you got something out of the sermon. I know I did. You know, I feel a lot better. So, but you know, we should be on guard about pride in our hearts. You say, I know I'm applying this to the fags this morning, but you know, pride, again, is something we should take note of in the Bible. You know, do a word study on it. Just go look up proud. Go look up pride and get an idea of what God thinks about it. Because, you know, we in our hearts and our minds, we think, oh, you know, I know it's bad, but, you know, it's not as bad as a lot of these other things, and I don't do those things. And amen for that, right? But pride is something that, you know, you could do secretly in your heart. No one, you know, it's not evident a lot of times. It's something that, you know, can really creep in. It's a very dangerous sin, and it's something that God calls an abomination. So we need to be on guard. Let's go ahead and pray.